Thank you, Fiona. Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we can learn so much about you from what we read. Lord, help each one of us to get to know you better this morning. Amen. Well, as we've heard, today is our celebration of harvest. And Jeff and Dan helped us to understand that today is a day for celebration and a day for thankfulness, for gratitude. And being thankful for food is a very good and godly thing. And I wonder if you noticed, what was the first thing that Jesus did in this reading when he received some food? He gave thanks to God, didn't he? And harvest is a great reminder that sometimes we need to pause and stop and really thank God for what we have. And looking at this table, it reminds us of all the many lovely things we have. There's meat, there's fish, there's cereal, there's all sorts of lovely treats there, custard. Ooh, lovely. There's all sorts of lovely things for us to be thankful for. Now, here is a rather lovely looking, juicy red apple. Now, I have a question for you. How many apples am I holding? This is, of course, a trick question. I am clearly holding just one apple. But inside this apple are maybe two or three seeds. And if we were to plant those seeds and nurture them, then that could grow into two or three trees. And those trees could have hundreds of apples. And those hundreds of apples might have two or three seeds in them, which could grow into trees. You see where I'm going with this? So in this one apple, with the right nurture, is an infinite abundance of fruit. Creation is so amazing, isn't it? Well, we're going to come back to our apple later. But harvest is a time for gratitude. And Jeff and Dan helped us to see that, but they also helped us to see it is a time for giving. And in our passage today, we see a really wonderful example of giving. So in today's Bible reading, we heard that Jesus was with a large crowd of 4,000 people. And these 4,000 people had travelled with him and been with him for 3 days. And many of them had gone very long distances. So they will have long since finished off any snacks that they'd been brought with them. So they're hungry. Maybe they're even hangry. And so Jesus wants to help them. He has compassion for them. He can see that they need food and he wants to give them something to eat. Now, what I always find interesting when I'm reading the Bible is to ask this question. Why did Jesus do it like that? Why? Jesus doesn't just wing it. Jesus always has a plan and a purpose. So why did he do it like that? Well, God has dealt with hungry crowds before. And there's this story in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, where there's a large crowd of God's people and they're in the wilderness and they are hungry. And God helps them by sending down something called manna. Can we have our picture, please? So this is our people receiving manna. Now, we don't really know what manna is. Literally translated, it means, what's that? You can imagine all the people going, what's that on the floor? Now, some people think it might have been a little bit like ready breck. So God has basically sent a porridge cloud to rain down porridge flakes to help this group of hungry people. And it worked pretty well, because apparently they'd pick it up, squidge it together, and make it into these little manna cakes, and they would eat them, and it kept them going. Now, Jesus, he's God, right? So he could have done the same. He had these 4,000 hungry people in front of them. He could have whipped up a porridge cloud. But he didn't. Instead, Jesus asked his disciples to give him what they had. He deliberately chose to involve his disciples in what he was doing. And so they did. They gave him what they had, which was 7 loaves of bread, which wasn't very much. Can we have our picture of bread? These are some quite big loaves, but imagine they could have been small loaves, maybe 7 small loaves of bread. Well, what happened next in the story? If Jesus had simply taken 7 loaves of bread, it wouldn't have gone very well, would it? I mean, if the children were still here and this was an all-age service, I might get them here with some loaves of bread, trying to break it into 4,000 pieces. And it would have turned into a mass of crumbs, and it would have been a complete mess. And this is why it's very good that this is not an all-age service. But that's not what happened. When Jesus took the bread and broke it, he had enough for 4,000 people and basketfuls left over. And he did the same with some fish. He basically made 4,000 fish finger sandwiches out of very little. Jesus took the small offering that the disciples were able to give and turned it into almost infinite abundance. Now, in doing this, Jesus wasn't saying, I'm here now, so you don't need supermarkets anymore. This wasn't his intention to become the sole food provider forever when people got hungry. He did it for a different reason. He did this miracle because he wanted to reveal something very important about who he was and what it means to follow him. And in our sermon series this autumn, we're thinking about the different ways that we follow Jesus. And in this one, Jesus is clearly saying that following him involves action. It involves joining in. Jesus is compassionate and he wants to help people and he wants to act, but he doesn't want to do this on his own. He's not the kind of God that wants to act alone with his porridge clouds. He's the kind of God that wanted to come amongst us. He wanted to involve his followers. And he asks his disciples to be a part of it, to give what they have, even if it is tiny, insufficient, and clearly can't meet the need in front of them. And today at our Harvest Festival, we've given too. And this is a very good and godly way of following Jesus in such a practical way. And this is a wonderful and generous spread of food, and it is going to help many people. But I wonder if in some way we feel a bit like the disciples, that this is tiny and insignificant compared to the need that we know there is just in our community, let alone the need in our world. But this is where we need to have the same faith and trust in Jesus that the disciples did, that whatever we can offer can become abundantly fruitful with Jesus's nurture. So the food we're giving today is going to Richmond Food Bank, and I think we've got a slide with their logo. So Richmond Food Bank is part of a network of food banks across the UK in the Trussell Trust. And I'm sure many of you will know the story of how food banks came about. But 23 years ago, Paddy Henderson received a phone call from a mum in Salisbury, and the mum was struggling to feed her children. And he realised that she wasn't the only one in crisis. She wasn't the only one struggling to put food on the table. And so he did what he could. He set up a food bank in his garage and his garden shed, and he provided 3 days emergency food for anyone in crisis. He did what he could with what he had. And it was a small offering in the face of so much need. But this one garage food bank, it's a bit like our apple. An apple is just a snack, really, isn't it? But as we've thought, the seeds inside that apple, when planted and nurtured, can turn into abundant fruit. And that's what happened. Paddy's example of setting up a food bank sowed seeds in the hearts and minds of people across church networks. 23 days later, we now have 1,200 food banks that are helping thousands of people across the country. And I've got no doubt that Jesus was involved in nurturing those seeds, in stirring up compassion, and in calling people to action. And it's become abundantly fruitful. Because Jesus wants us to be involved. He wants us to act, even if all we can offer is tiny and insufficient compared to the need. Now, today on Harvest Sunday, we're particularly thinking about food, but faith-filled action isn't just about food. The story we've read in the Bible today encourages us to offer anything and everything that we can to Jesus for him to do something wonderful. And I wonder how often we feel like we just have very little to offer. Maybe our prayer for someone just doesn't feel big enough for what they are going through, or our small words of encouragement feel weak compared to what our friend in a hard situation is experiencing. Or perhaps sometimes the problem feels so big we don't do anything at all. I mean, the disciples could very easily have turned round to Jesus and said, "You know we don't have 4,000 loaves of bread. Why are you even asking us?" But they didn't. Because with God, something small can become bigger than we could hope or imagine. And I can point to times in my own life when God has taken something small and done something really big with it. On my first Sunday here, I knelt down just there for someone to pray with me. And I'd never met this lady before. And she said a prayer. And she used these words that she couldn't have possibly known had absolute meaning for me. She used this turn of phrase which suddenly made me think, God has seen me, God knows what is going on, and he is here and he's going to help me. So her small offering of that small prayer sowed seeds that became big and fruitful in my life. Her prayer was like that apple. But as I finish, there's one question that still remains. We've seen that Jesus wants to involve his disciples. He wants to involve us. But why? In fact, why did he choose to do a miracle at all on that day? I mean, he could have said to the crowd, "Go home, get yourselves something to eat. We will meet up another time." But he didn't. He wanted to give them food. And in part, I'm sure this is because he loved them and he cared and he couldn't bear to send them away, clearly in need. It's like one of those grandmothers who, when you visit their house, you always go home with scones and biscuits in your pocket because they just can't help but give. But I wonder if Jesus saw an opportunity. There was an opportunity to do here something more wonderful than teaching, more wonderful than giving food to hungry people. I wonder if he wanted to give a clear sign that he really was God, here, in person, with them. And he could do that by doing a miracle and by doing something humanly impossible. And what better way to help people to see who he really was than by drawing them close and getting them involved? I mean, imagine if you were one of those disciples. You had given Jesus a loaf of bread and you had seen what he did with it. It would be absolutely amazing. I mean, you've touched those loaves of bread. You know that there's no magician's bag with spare loaves of bread lurking behind. You've seen people eat. You know it's not just smoke and mirrors. This is real. Jesus was letting them see and experience that so they could build their faith. And I think Jesus wants to build our faith too as he involves us in what he's doing and as we give what we can and see what he does with it. We're invited to give Jesus what we have, even if it is as tiny as that apple, because Jesus can nurture it into something wonderful and abundant and fruitful. And we can see Jesus turn our small prayers, our insufficient words, those tiny acts of love and kindness, into something bigger as he nurtures those seeds sown from our efforts. And when we see him do it, we can know for ourselves that he truly is God. And he truly does love us so much that he came to be at work here amongst us. And so this harvest, we can thank God for the food we have, but we can also thank him for being him. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, this harvest, we thank you for giving us food. But more than that, we thank you for giving us yourself. Thank you that you love us so much that you wanted to come and be among us. And thank you that we can be involved and see more of who you are as we act. Lord, sometimes what we have to offer feels so small and insufficient. But Lord, help us to offer it anyway, in faith and hope and trust that you can use it and do wonderful things. Amen.